At our regional conference in Kozel this year, we had a presentation from Rod Matthews, and he demonstrated how trees in the forest help one another. Do you remember that?
Yes.
So while I was preparing this sermon, I remembered that presentation. Even trees in the forest, they have a way of supporting each other. How much more us? And it has always been my policy. The sermons I give, let me tell you the secret. They are sermons I take from what our pastor gave. You see, when he gives a sermon, there are times you can get about 3-4 sermons from one sermon. So you pick the one that will help you. And then you do what? You build on it. I don't give myself the trouble to work like, you see how our sister did it? Something she received and it flows. And that's how I prepare my sermons. And so today, I'm going to give a sermon on something our pastor gave recently. Hallelujah. So it will be fresh in your mind. Usually because of the structure of the rota, so if it had been about 3-4 months, you wouldn't have noticed it. When I stand here to preach about it, you wouldn't have noticed it. But today I'm telling you the secret. It's all from who God has given us, our Pastor Larry. Hallelujah. Yes. Sermons and things like that. And so today I'm going to talk about prayer. And this prayer, we are going to take it from the angle of Jonah, the book of Jonah. At the last chapter of Jonah, Jonah exhibited something, a habit that we Christians, we do. We do show that habit very often. Let me tell you a story. And this is a true story, an incident that happened. It's at a church setting, opening prayer. A member was called to give an opening prayer. He gave the opening prayer. He asked for God to inspire the speaking. He asked for God to touch the hearts of members. After the sermon has been given, that very member stood up and said, "This is stupid. This is nonsense." Beginning, at the beginning of the service, you pray for God to inspire the speaker. Good. You ask God to open our heart, our mind, to accept. And then at the end, after everything, you, the very person, criticize. You get instead of even saying it's a stupid sermon. You see, we do it. Forget, I have done it several times. Let us pray for the king. Let us pray for the government. We pray for the government. And then the government comes out with a policy, a new policy, and it doesn't favor us. The government is stupid. Excuse me. Use my words, please. The government is this. The government is that. You see, we have prayed for the government. The government has come out with something. And then we criticize the government. I have done that several times. Especially when you are not in favor of that government. Haven't that happened to you before? I believe. Let's look at the behavior of Jonah. In Jonah chapter 4. Let's start from verse 1. Is it? But it displayed Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Now, let's go back a bit. Jonah was sent by God to go to Nineveh to preach. Because the sin of that nation, of that country, of that people have reached heaven. And so he sent Jonah. And we all know the story. Jonah decided to run away from God's command. below. Now, eventually he went to Nineveh and he preached. And the people repented. And look at Jonah's attitude. Verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Brethren, you pray for these people to change. They change, and now you are angry. We pray for God to inspire the sermon. The sermon didn't come the way you expected, and you are angry. You pray for something your way, and it didn't happen your way. At times, even the way we see it, we are limited. Money is limited. Because we are able to perceive what we see now, like in this room. Beyond this room, we can't see anything. So when God is working behind the scenes, we don't know, we can't see. We only see what we are able to see. And our judgment, that's how science is. Science establishes facts based on what is observed for a period of time. For 6 months, some scientific experiment is taking place and is recorded, and now it's established for this period, this is what happened. That is how the human mind lives, acts. So here was Jonah. The people have changed. And he was angry. He wanted God to punish the people. That is his way. You see, he wanted God to do this his way. I told you that God will punish you. And yes. And most often, in fact, lately, we live to learn. Hallelujah. Things happen and then you begin to learn. See, I say, "Lord," at times we pray, and the things we pray for, we don't receive them. But one thing I have learned in this situation, I will share with you. I will share with you, brethren, that when we pray, what are we to do? We will see some stories in the Old Testament, how men of God, how kings prayed. And after that, how they behave, what they did after that prayer. Hallelujah. Everything is in the Bible. So we'll go there and then we'll see. But before then, brethren, the Bible says, the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. In James chapter 3, verses 16. James 5, 16. So we should have at the back of our mind that we are righteous. You see, we are righteous, one. And so, being righteous, it's not like righteousness from works. No, this is our righteousness that Christ has what? The gift that Christ has given us. So now, we are at peace with God. We are at God's side. We have a standing, righteous standing before God. So whenever you are praying, know that there is power in your prayer. Hallelujah. You see, you wouldn't know how powerful your prayer is if you do not know who you are. If you know who you are and you know your position, then you will know how powerful your prayer is. And so first, let us look at who we are. In Revelation chapter 1, in Revelation chapter 1, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Revelation chapter 1, let's start from verse 4. Revelation is about a vision John had on the island of Patmos, and God asked John to do three things. And in verse 19, let's quickly look at something in verse 19. He asked John, he told John, John, write the things which you have seen, one, and things which are happening. So the whole book of Revelation, here are the three things in Revelation, and the things which will take place after this. So he was asking John to write about things he will see, the things which are that present at his time, which were happening, and then things which will happen afterwards. So in verse 4, it says, John, to the seven churches who are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, all of us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So brethren, you are a king. I am a king. You are a priest. I am a priest. These are who we are. We are kings and priests. Let's bear this in our mind. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Brethren, so do you see who we are? We are priests offering what? Acceptable sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14. So we are priests, and Christ is our what? High priest. Some time ago, you know how I used to believe? I used to believe because we are kings and priests, and Jesus will be the King of Kings, that means there will be the kings, the other kings will be Gentile kings. Not knowing Jesus will be king over us, or because we are kings, he will be king of kings. Do you get it? And since we are priests, he is the what? High priest. Some time ago, this was my belief. Oh, like the queen will be there. All other kings will be there. No! Because in Daniel it says, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord. You get it? So this kingdom, what we are seeing here, will become ours. Will be king. And Christ will be the King of Kings. And we are priests, and he will be the what? High priest. So in Hebrews 4:14, this is what it says. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hallelujah. So he is our high priest, and we are priests, offering sacrifices acceptable to God. Brethren, where are we? Where are we? Because earlier when I said, if you know who you are, and you know where you are, your position, when you are praying, you know how powerful your prayer is. When Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 13 to 14, let's quickly go there and see Jesus departing where? To his disciples. And why he said that? John. John chapter 14. John 14. 13, 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Why did he say that? What in his name? If we know where we are, we will know that this statement Christ made was a perfect statement. And it was a key. Because at that time, the disciples didn't know. They didn't understand. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Let's start from... I love this when we come back a bit and then we pick it up from there. So let's start from 3 down. Yes. So that the understanding will be clearer. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us, this is the point, he made us accepted in the beloved. Brethren, we have been accepted in the beloved. So wherever Christ is, we are in Christ, positioned there. So when Christ is praying to the Father, is it, Father, I want this. So that's Jesus talking to the Father. Daddy, Dad, Jima, I want this. Your son Kofi is talking to you, Daddy. Daddy, I want some dough. Yes, he gives me the dough. You see, now, we are in Jesus, in me. So now, when I ask in the name of Jesus, then that is Jesus himself speaking. Do we get that? We have been accepted in Jesus. So we are in Jesus. So when we pray, can everything, and then when we mention that name, Jesus, in his name, the Father sees it as Jesus. The Father doesn't see it as Kofi. So it's not about what I do, it's about what Christ has done. Hallelujah. So he answers our prayers, not because you think, this week I live the righteous life, I read my Bible 24/7, I did that. No. What about next week when the camp goes down? Is it Jesus? In fact, his line is constant. Because he is constant, he has accepted us in him. So the Father sees us in Jesus as constant. Hallelujah. Because when it comes to Kofi, today, because we are services, the Spirit is high. Let's go home. After 30 minutes, it's down. That's it. And when it dips, with God, is it, God is holy. But because we've been accepted in Christ, constant. Hallelujah. This is where we are. Ephesians, the same Ephesians, chapter 2. Let's start from 4. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. You see, together with Christ. And so, in fact, I remember before I was baptized and I went through the classes. When you are baptized, you are deep into the water, you die with Christ. You see, when you come out, you are raised with Christ. And this is it. And he said, made us alive together with Christ.
By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together.
Brethren, the important thing,
we are sitting together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
This is where we are seated.
We are seated together in Christ. Seven, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus.
These are the things we get in Christ Jesus. Let's continue with verse 11 of the same chapter.
Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, made in the flesh by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
You see where we are, brethren?
So now, where Christ is, there we are. In the Old Testament time, in the Holy of Holies, the high priest goes in there once a year. Now, Christ is our high priest. And he is before the Father 24/7. And we are there. We should be conscious of that. No matter what you're going through, no matter what, when we pray, we should have these two things in mind. That this is who I am, and this is where I am. Who I am. There is a new song now that says, I know who I am. Have you heard that song? Sinach, by Sinach. Yeah. She'll be here. I think she's in London now. American singer. A gospel song. I'm the son of God. I know the power I have. I know everything. I know who I am. Do you know who you are? If you do not know who you are, you always be going round. Be going round. Be going round. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is a prayer in the Bible, and I love it so much. It was a prayer by David. It was the most, I think, one of the shortest, apart from Jesus' prayers, it was one of the shortest prayer ever in the Bible. We will come. But before then, let's look at this. You know what a king does when he's speaking? It decrees, you know that. I decree this and that. A king doesn't beg. You know that. No, we are kings. And you know the work of a high priest or a priest. A priest intercedes for the people. So this is the job we are to do. As a king, you decree and you intercede for others. Hallelujah. There was a time when King David was attacked by his own son, Absalom, because of what he did with Bathsheba. And so, the Lord told David, look, you'll be punished. And he knew, he accepted God's punishment. All right. So there was a time when his son Absalom decided to take over the throne of his father. A coup d'etat. This is one within your own house. His own son. In Zimbabwe, what is happening there is by the military. But this is his own son. And one of David's best, and I would say the wisest man at that time in Israel. His name was Ahithophel. He was his advisor. And the Bible says, when he gives you an advice, it's like the words from God himself. And it happened that David heard that Ahithophel has joined the camp of Absalom. Hey, my body. my main man, my advisor, special advisor, has joined hands with my enemy. And so he prayed. He prayed. And it's my prayer that that prayer will be our prayer. Anytime. You see, when you cultivate a habit of prayer, you pray anytime. There is this story about some guys who went to exorcise some spirit from a child. So when they got there and they started praying, the child started to show some, you know, just a little bit of what she had, or the evil spirit. Then the man of God who went with them said, "No, this needs stronger prayers." Have you heard that thing? This is not for small prayers. We need stronger prayers. What do you mean stronger prayers? What do you mean? Was there any any time in Jesus' ministry when something was brought to me or someone who was sick and Jesus said, no, now let us go and pray. This one, we have to pray very hard for this situation. No, when you have that habit of praying, my brother, an incident will come and you just say, in the name of Jesus. And it will be the shortest prayer ever of your life. And God will wake. Because your life is made up of what? Life of prayer. You are praying always. You are before the Father. And so, in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30. Sorry, 2 Samuel chapter 15, yes. Verses 30 to 31. So David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up. And he had his head covered and went barefoot. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up, weeping as they went, because he was running away from his son Absalom. Then someone told David, saying, "Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." And David said, "Oh Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." That was his prayer. "Oh Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." And brethren, when you read the subsequent chapter, his counsel he gave was turned down. Hallelujah. You see, he didn't say many words. He didn't pray many long. "Oh Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." And that was all. And brethren, that was all. So we shall see a prayer by another king. And when we study the way they pray and how, what they do after they pray. You know, when David prayed, that was it. He didn't talk about it. He didn't say anything evil about it. When you read, you will see that even for someone to criticize his son at that time, he was against it. And that should be our behavior. We pray for this government. He makes decisions that may not favor you. That is it. No need for us to what? Complain. No. What are we to do? We shall see. There was a time in the land of Judah when the people of Ammon and Moab decided to attack Judah. You know, the land of Israel was divided into two. We have the land of Israel, and then we have the southern Judah, and then Benjamin coming together to form the Jewish land, Judah. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we shall see the type of prayer a king prayed. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's start from verse 1. "It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat, And you know, these are Israel's cousins. You know that the Moab and Ammonite, Moab, Yahweh, descendants of Lot. The two daughters. One gave birth to the Moabite and one gave birth to the Ammonite. So these are cousins. And you have your cousins attacking you. Are you not seeing it in the spiritual now? Yes. It's there. We see our people attacking us spiritually. Your own people. The Bible says in Malachi that a man's enemy is in his own house. Is there? Not from anywhere. His own people attacking them. Two. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. It happened to us. We are attacked from many angles. We are attacked with many, many things. The evil one attacks us with so many things, and we always go to the Lord to pray. Don't we? We do that. 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. In the house of the Lord. Why in the house of the Lord? Because there was a belief at that time. We shall come to that belief. We shall see why in the house of the Lord. But now, let's not forget that now we are the temple of God. Do you see? At that time, they had to go to the house of the Lord, because that is where he has placed his name. When Solomon built the temple, Solomon prayed. And he asked God, we shall come to that. I don't want to jump. You see, now we are the temple of God. So you see, you don't need to go into the house of the Lord. You are the house itself. You see, this is where the consciousness has to come in. That yes, I know who I am. And I know where I am. Let's continue. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Let's go to verse 17 of that same chapter. Verse 17 to 21. After praying, he said, you will not... Sorry. Jehoshaphat prayed about this. And then the Lord answered him. And that's verse 17. Let's start from 16. It says, tomorrow go thou against them, they will surely come up by the ascent of Aziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord told them. The Lord's Spirit came upon one of them, and the person prophesied that this is what the Lord has said. And it came to pass. They didn't fight. When they went out there, the people were already dead. Brethren, in the spiritual realm, when we pray, things happen. It's just that we don't see. Things happen. But because it has not appeared in the physical, don't think it never happened. It has. It has happened. Healing has taken place. God is opening ways. But you see, his time is not our time. With God, God has no time. He's beyond time. We are bound by time. But he is not bound by time. Hallelujah. Let's look at something in verse 25. It says, when Jehoshaphat and his people, verse 25, came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry. Look at this. Look, they are going to war. And they have all these things. You see, There are times when these are the, when things are not happening the way you want them, you do not know what God is doing for you. These people are coming to war and they have jewelry, all these things with them. God was preparing something for them. Hallelujah. Likewise, He's preparing something for us. No matter what we are going through, no matter what we pray, He gives us more of what we even ask for. But say, fellows are dead bodies and precious jewels which they strip off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Hallelujah. How can you go to war carrying valuables? It's not helpful. God was preparing something for them. But he prayed to God. He went into the temple of God and he prayed. And when he prayed, when he studied that story, you see, he made decrees. He remembered God, his promises. That, Lord, you said this. You said this. You said that. If we go to war and this, we call upon you, you will save us. That is what Jehoshaphat did. He didn't pray about what he can do. He prayed about what God has said to do.
Brethren, let's look at something in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. When Solomon built the temple, this is what he told God. In verse 17, verse 17 of chapter 6. And now, O Lord, God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David. But will God indeed dwell with men on earth? Behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple, which I have built? Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord, my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you, that your eyes may be open towards this temple, day and night, towards the place where you said you will put your name, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes towards this place. And may you hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. This is what he prayed about the place. And you know, God in Jesus had made us so, to be acceptable before the Father. Do you see? The house that Solomon built, he built so that God will accept it. Anytime they pray, God will answer them. Now, Christ has also made us through his blood, washed us and presented us before the Father in the same manner, that in the name of Jesus, when we pray, he will answer. Hallelujah. Do you see the two similarities? And so, in chapter 7, the next chapter of 2 Chronicles, this is how God answered Solomon in his prayer. It's they have nice stories. When you read chapter 6 and chapter 7, you see how Solomon presented the temple before God, and God also answered. In the same way, Christ has also presented us before the Father. And we've been accepted in the Beloved before the Father. In verses 14 of chapter 7, let's start from verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Hallelujah. This is the assurance God gave to Solomon that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, there is a song like that. And brethren, so when Jehoshaphat was praying, he said, Lord, you said we should, when it's time for war, we should come. You will fight for us. You will fight for us. And it's there. When you continue reading, it's there. Solomon said, even if they are attacked, a nation attacks them, and they lift their voice to you, Lord, answer. And the Moabites and the Ammonites are coming. And Jehoshaphat assembled the whole nation, and they prayed to God. They lifted their voice to God. And God listened to their prayer. And brethren, do you know, after praying, do you know what Jehoshaphat did? Back to 2 Chronicles 20. Verse 21. And this is the attitude I want us all to have. When we pray, brethren, no need, when the results don't go our way, the way we expect them to be. No. This is what we have to do. 21, verse 21. It is, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of his holiness, as they went out before the army, and were saying, praise the Lord for his mercy.
For his mercy are endless. Ever faithful, ever sure.
Brethren, when you pray, that song should be the aftermath of your prayer. Is it? Praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. They are going to war. They are going to war. And after praying, this is the song they sang. This is the song they sang.
Lord,
Mama,
shall endure ever faithful, ever sure.
Yes, amen. His mercy shall endure ever faithful, ever sure. And that was what they were saying. Hallelujah. Going to war. So Jonah, after praying for the people of Nineveh to change, he should have sung,
oh, his mercy shall endure, ever faithful, ever sure.
You see, he forgot about God's mercy. So he wanted bad punishment, sinful punishment for the people of Nineveh. He forgot about the mercies of God. You see, when the sermon is even against you, and it's very difficult when you see that this sermon is about me. Yeah? Here it's not like that. Here we don't see it. I tell you, here you don't see it at all. Back home, I tell you, we once had a pastor, and when he's coming, this is, he will tell you, now I have my AK-47. He was in the church then. From Nigeria, I tell you, he will give it to you. And you could tell that this sermon is about me. And you feel like, you know, the seat where you are seated, the chair should just, you know, the air should open for you to, you know, sink and then vamoose from the place. Hallelujah. You see, that was when we feel, you see, the law. Because the law should bring all the faults about us, but grace has now come, and grace encourages. Hallelujah. Grace supplies where we are weak, supplies us with strength. Hallelujah. Yes. So brethren, what are we to do? What are we to do? Lamentations chapter 3 verse 26. When we pray and we ask God to do something, after the prayer, what are we to do? Lamentations 3:26. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Let's wait quietly Don't talk about the issue. You have a stubborn child. You think you are the only one. Don't talk about it. Go to God after praying. If you study David's life, you know, here was David and his son was against him. And even when people were suggesting to kill Absalom, he said, no, no. If it's work for me, Charlie, can you do it for me? After all, I have many sons. If that child alone is not ready to listen to me, he can go. He can go wherever he wants. He's no more my child. No, no. For his mercy, Charlie, be up. Ever faithful, ever sure. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. Verse 16. When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. You know what I'm reading? Isaiah 30:18. And the last one is Zephaniah 3:8. Just write them down. Isaiah 30:18. Yes. Isaiah chapter 30 and verses 18. There are many, many scriptures on waiting patiently for God. 30:18 says, therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Brethren, blessed are all those who wait for him. We just have to have the patience of waiting. We should wait for the Lord to do whatever he wants to do. You see, prayer means I can't do it, but you can. Prayer is not dependent on yourself, but his grace. Because you can't do it, that is why you are praying for him to do it. It's not about us. We are only to say it, and he will perfect his word. In some sense, he will magnify his word above his name. Whatever God has said, he will do it. So when we go to him, we go to him on his terms, not our terms. So we go to him like Jehoshaphat did, on the promises of God. You have said this, you have said this, you have said this, you have said that. You will do. God, you said by your stripes I am healed, and so by your stripes I receive healing. That is his way. We go to him with his what? Promises. Not our promises. No. If you give me the chance, I have so many things to ask. But we ask and we ask amiss. The Bible tells us. And so brethren, from the lesson of Jonah, we've seen that most often, the things we pray for, they don't happen the way we want them. But when they happen, what are we to do? We just have to wait. And whilst waiting, what do? We sing that song, for his mercies shall endure, ever faithful, ever sure. This revelation, God bless us. Jesus' name, amen.